Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look in the 5 and 10, glistening once again with candy canes and silver lanes aglow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store. But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door.
A pair of Hop-along boots and a thistle that shoots is the wish of Barney and Ben.
Donna will talk and we'll go for a walk is the hope of Janet and Jen.
And Bob and Dad and I will wait for Will to start again.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Grand hotel and one in the park as well, the sturdy kind that doesn't mind the snow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start, and the thing that will
Hello.
Make them
Merry
ring
Christmas
is
and
the carol
to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be sharing a lot of music with you. And it's going to be, I think, just a nice, warm, cozy program today because we have a wonderful guest, Ron Clancy, and he has put together a millennia collection. And Ron was going to be with us earlier this month, and then he got stuck on a plane flight, wasn't able to do it. But here we are, Christmas Eve, and he's able to join us. Ron, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Donna, and Merry Christmas to you.
Well, Merry Christmas to you as well. Where are you, Ron, at this moment?
Actually at home, just outside of Cape May, New Jersey.
And I bet you've got snow.
No, we don't.
Oh, come on. You don't have a white Christmas?
No, no. We rarely get snow where we are, even though we're on the East Coast. We're the southernmost portion of New Jersey, just a few miles off the ocean. And the ocean air, which is warmer, the ocean water is warmer than the air, and mostly we get rain. The only way we get snow here is if we get an Alberta clipper that comes way down south. And,
oh, my goodness.
But you can go 40, 50 miles north of us, and you'll get snow.
Wow. Well, today we're going to be playing so many of the beautiful pieces that you have, but we're going to be doing something a little bit more than just playing music that you have in this wonderful Millennia Collection. We're going to be going into some of the history behind this, and we opened up with a beautiful piece of music done by Kate Smith, whose voice always, I just think that this is one of the most awesome singers. She had this wonderful, rich, powerful voice. And one of the songs that Kate Smith did is It's Beginning to Look Like Christmas. Now, this was written by Meredith Wilson, and it came out in 1951. Tell us what inspired Meredith, and why did this song have so much popularity?
Well, a lot of songwriters for the Broadway stage felt that they should have their signature Christmas songs. And practically every Christmas song that's popular today that's been around for 50, 60 years, by and large, the songwriter probably wrote music for the Broadway stage or for movies. Meredith Wilson was no different. He actually wrote the wonderful Broadway play, as well as movie, The Music Man. And that particular story was actually based upon, I guess, had the imagery of his hometown, which was in Iowa. And but you know, he composed this wonderful song, "It's Beginning to Look Like Christmas," and who better than Kate Smith can sing that song? And it has such a nostalgic ring to it. The lyrics, "It's beginning to look like Christmas everywhere you go." Take a look at the 5 and 10. How many 5 and 10s do exist today?
Oh my goodness! I don't know.
All gone.
Mm-hmm.
They're practically all gone. And the image I chose, you know, for "It's Beginning to Look Like Christmas," has a small town that American small town look. It's called Fall City, Nebraska. It's on the cover of the Saturday Evening Post in 1946. I felt that particular image on the post and the lyrics of the song go hand in hand.
Well, they really, really do. Now, this Millennium Collection that you have, you've been a guest on my show for the past few years. This was a labor of love, but also you have such a passion for music, and you did so much in the way of collecting information about the musical classics for the holidays and the historical perspective. But the American Christmas classics especially were unique in that they had an entirely unique flavor all their own. What was the time frame for the beginning of the birth of American carols?
Well, American carols, for this collection, starts in the during the Revolutionary War period. Prior to that time, most of the carols that were sung in churches were essentially native carols from Germany, France, England, and so forth, where various ethnic, you know, populations are settled in different parts of the country, and they were more likely to sing songs such as "O Tannenbaum" is here from the German colonies, or it came upon, not necessarily came upon a midnight clear, because that's an American carol, but again, we have these songs that came from Europe. And I started this collection with a song that was composed by William Billings out of Boston during the Revolutionary War period, and it's called "The Shepherd's Carol," and it has somewhat of a Pentecostal kind of sound to it, which is understandable because of the Puritan heritage in New England. Mm-hmm. But I felt it was representative of the singing school of American at the time, and it gives us an idea of what an American carol would have sounded over 200 years ago.
There are so many different factors to the creation of music, and of course, Broadway just had such a major contribution here. But we go back to Dickens, who wrote the Christmas Carol. Of course, all of us are familiar with Ebenezer Scrooge. My husband was watching the Christmas Carol last night on television that featured George C. Scott.
I love that. That's a very good rendition of the Christmas
Carol.
Yes,
that's one of he just thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. So here we have this influence from overseas, but because of the attitude of many Americans when you had the wars and everything with the Britons, it just really seemed Dickens had such an influence on the American psyche. How did that stimulate composers?
Well, I think there's a couple trends that were going on at the time. You're absolutely right. The Revolutionary War and the War of 1812 left a rather anti-British flavor in the United States, and Americans were more likely to either emulate the customs of the native countries from the various colonies, or they were likely to essentially accept the Dutch influence on the Christmas tradition. But it was Washington Irving, who was somewhat of a contemporary or a late contemporary for Charles Dickens, who essentially helped steer Americans toward the English Christmas traditions. He was very much in favor of the English traditions, and with Charles Dickens, the Christmas Carol, that helped to greatly influence the evolution of carols in the United States and the essentially acceptance of new Christmas traditions. And the third item was when the British Queen Victoria and Prince Albert, her concert essentially showed up on the cover of the London Illustrated News at Buckingham, or I think it was Windsor Castle, with a decorated Christmas tree on a table. Those three elements there helped to usher in an era of accepting new Christmas traditions in the Victorian age, but it also helped to influence the composition of new carols, especially here in the United States. And you can almost tick them off after it was 1843 with the Christmas Carol. In 1849, you had It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. In 1857, we had Jingle Bells. In the same year, we had We Three Kings of Orient Are. In 1868, we had O Little Town of Bethlehem. And sometime in the same era, we had Away in a Manger. So all these songs were relatively new American compositions, and they added to the international repertoire of carols.
Well, we're going to move forward a little bit in time, and my engineer is putting together Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. And this is one thing. If you really want to get in the mood for baking or you're doing stuff around the house, this is a song that'll get those feet moving and the toes tapping and your heart singing. Let's take a break here for just a moment, and we're going to be playing this for a little bit. And then we'll tell you a little bit of the history about this wonderful piece of music, Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. And it just has such a buoyancy, a sense of joyfulness about it that just makes you feel good. How did this song come into play?
Well, the composer of the song was the same composer who wrote Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer with Johnny Marks.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnny Marks was vacationing in Maine, and he was sunbathing on the beach, and he was watching these young kids dancing around on the beach to rock and roll music, which is relatively new at that time. And in the background, he noticed these fir trees. He thought to himself, geez, I might be able to make a song out of this. So he ended up writing a Rocking Around the Christmas Tree based upon the fact that he saw these teenagers dancing on the beach with fir trees, you know, in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what he did was he went to a record company and said, you know, I'd like to get Brenda Lee to sing this song for us. And the executive at the record company said, you got to be kidding, Johnny. This, you know, everybody wants Brenda Lee these days. And I think one of her big hits at the time was I'm Sorry, which was out, you know, maybe a year earlier. And she was really big at the time and very much in demand. But eventually, the record executive relented and did get Brenda Lee to sing the song, and has become quite popular ever since.
Oh, she's just perfect for it. Again, she's got this unique quality to her voice that's just infectious.
She's a little dynamo. I've seen her a couple times on television. She's a really sprightly type of woman. And yes, he was an ideal person to sing the song.
Absolutely. And Johnny Marks also is the one that wrote Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And this one particular piece of music is considered one of the most valuable pieces in the world. It sold over 170 million copies, and it's still selling. That's incredible.
Well, I think it's probably sold more, maybe close to 180 or 190 by this time.
Wow.
Well,
just amazing.
That was the most valuable song at the time for Columbia Records. No other song sold more than Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And I don't know if it has ever been eclipsed by any other songs, you know, in the modern era. But at the time, that certainly was the number one song. Now, for Columbia Records, but what's interesting about it is that Johnny Marks had that song in his head for 10 years after his brother-in-law had written this story called Rudolph for Montgomery Ward Stores as a Christmas promotional gimmick. And they made this story about Rudolph into a booklet, and they gave this booklet out free to kids that came to visit Montgomery Ward Santa Claus. Well, Johnny Marks, you know, was trying to figure out how to write a song, and he had this song in his head for many, many years. And finally, in 1949, 10 years later, he produced and had it published, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and asked Gene Autry, the most popular Hollywood singer at the time, a cowboy singer to boot, to sing the song. And Gene Autry was very reluctant to sing that song. He just felt this was not really in his league. He felt it was not good for his image. But his wife, Ina May was her name, said, you know, Gene, do me a favor. Sing the song and put it on the B-side of the record.
Mm-hmm.
It became the number one song in Columbia history.
And then I don't even think anybody remembers what was on side A.
I don't think they really. No, they don't.
You know, history, when you find out about some of these favorites that you just take for granted, in Johnny Marks, I mean, you think about something being carried in his head for 10 years before it actually came into the position of popularity. And here it is today, still a bestseller. They've had animated movies about this. It's played every year on just about every radio station. DVDs, CDs come out with it. It is just absolutely magical. The story, the music, it's just a classic, as you say in your book. Now, we're going to take a break for a moment and listen to Silver Bells. This has a history that I think you'll find really interesting. So we're going to just take a break for a minute. This is a day, it's Christmas Eve, that we are just going to have some wonderful time with some Christmas stories and Christmas music. So bear with us. We're going to be back in just a moment. Silver Bells. Has its own distinctive beginning, and you said it was the first song about Christmas in the city. Give us a little history on this.
Well, Silver Bells was actually written for the movie The Lemon Drop the Lemon Drop Kid, which starred Bob Hope in 1951. Some music publishers asked Ray Evans and Jay Livingston, who combined to, you know, who collaborated to write the song. And by the way, the two of them met at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia when they were students and formed a lifelong partnership after those years in college. But anyway, they were asked to write this Christmas song, and they were reluctant because there were so many Christmas songs out at the time, and they said, geez, you know, we're going to just write another Christmas song. They felt it would get buried. But they decided to, you know, write the song for the movie and give it a big city flavor, because most carols and holiday songs had a rural or countryside kind of feel to it. Mm-hmm. And very, very seldom did you hear anything related to, you know, the city. And so these folks decided, well, we're going to write something about the city. And so they did. And so in 1951, with the movie Lemon Drop Kid, it came out and it became quite popular. And it's still quite popular even today, 57 years later. Now, what's interesting, too, about Silver Bells is how I tried to find an image to fit for the imagery of this particular song. And to tell you the truth, I guarantee you, I spent over 7 hours looking at tons of pictures for this particular song, and I finally found one, which was an advertisement for Pacific Mills in 1948. It showed up in Life magazine, and I'll tell you, that picture, when you look at it and hear the lyrics of that song, they go hand in hand.
Well, what I love about this song is that it's really timeless. It's not dated in the way that it reads, because you have city sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air, there's a feeling of Christmas. This can describe any city. This is downtown Seattle. Children laughing, people passing, meeting smile after smile, and on every street corner you hear silver bells, silver bells. And bells were ringing when I was out the other day. You know, the Salvation Army has the bell that they ring, and then there are people that like to have the other bells that jingle as you go in and out of the doors, and you have sometimes the espresso places where they have the bells that they ring. And it's just gives a feel, and it's magical in the way that they captured this. So 100 years from now, it would even be successful. I don't care if we're on a spaceship.
Well, what's really interesting about this song, Donna, is when you look at the image and hear the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, back in the years of 50s and early 60s, it was a big thing to go into the city during the Christmas holidays. People got dressed up. You know, they didn't wear Levi's and tennis shoes, that stuff like that. You never went into town wearing casual clothes. You went into town dressed up with your Sunday best as you milled around with thousands and thousands of other people who were window shopping, going to the various department stores. And, of course, that culture has all changed. But the lyrics of this song has that nostalgic feel to it. And in fact, the lyrics of most of the songs from the 1940s and 30s and 50s, when you look at the lyrics, they're not about me. They're about us. They're about family. They're about a certain feeling. And that's what makes them so magical and so enduring, which has made them standards for over 50 years.
We're going to play a little bit from "Twas the Night Before Christmas," because that's what we are right at this moment, the night before Christmas. We're going to take a break and play a little of that. When we come back, we are going to have a story that goes with this fabulously famous piece of music, "Twas the Night Before Christmas." We'll be right back.
To children of all ages, Christmas means Santa Claus.
Was the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse.
by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there.
Was the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. Those are the beginning lines of this very, very popular song, which, again, has been around for years. Ron, give us a little bit of history on this, because this was an adaptation of an old poem that had been written. Tell us what goes behind 'Twas the Night Before Christmas.
Well, actually, the song 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, which is sung by Fred Waring and the Pennsylvanians, the music was arranged by Ken Darby, and the lyrics are the exact same lyrics as the poem, A Visit, you know, from St. Nicholas, by Clement Clark Moore, which was first published in 1822 in the Troy Sentinel, or actually first published in 1823. He wrote it in 1822. And but the song is really about, it's a verbatim transcription of the poem, which makes it very interesting, because most times when people do that, they chop off a phrase here or there. But
mm-hmm.
when you listen to the song, you hear the entire poem. The only difference is at the very, near the very end of the poem, there's some added lyrics, which makes it somewhat comical. And the lyrics go, 'Tis the night after Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature is stirring, not even a mouse. The presents are scattered and broken, I fear, and St. Nicholas won't come again for a year. And it goes on from there. But
Most people never hear that.
That's because that's not part of the poem. This is part of the lyric.
Mm-hmm.
It's added to the entire poem. Now, what's interesting, of course, about the poem itself is Santa Claus in the poem is actually St. Nicholas, but he is a right jolly old elf. He's not a big rotund Santa as we know him today. And because he was this right jolly old elf, he was able to go down the chimney.
Mm-hmm.
Not if he were that rotund fellow that Thomas Nast essentially made famous in the 1880s. And in fact, Thomas Nast was actually, again, he's the one who made Santa Claus more rotund. And then we know Santa today more likely like the Santa Claus, the Coca-Cola Santa Claus.
Yes.
The one with a red suit, with the white fur and the jolly looking fellow. That's the Santa Claus we most identify with today.
Ron, your material is just wonderful. The American Christmas Classics, the Millennium Collection is something that I would recommend that anybody, if they wanted to be able to enjoy old classics, just the renditions of popular music, the wonderful, wonderful collection you have. It is just a joy to have you on the air as always. Give us your website, because you now, the materials are out in the bookstores, and if people wanted to get something, they could do that. I know it's on Amazon, but tell us your website so they can go there.
Well, the web address is www.christmasclassics.com. That's christmasclassics.com. And there's a toll-free telephone number. It's 866-552-7742.
My guest today, Ronald Clancy, American Christmas Classics, oh, and so, so much more in this phenomenally beautiful Millennium Collection that has books, your CDs, you have history. It's just absolutely wonderful to have it as part of your library and to give it as a gift to someone who is a fan of music. Boy, it is just, it just can't be beat. Ron, thank you so much for being with us on this Christmas Eve day, and happy, happy Christmas to you and to your family, and a wonderful new year.
Well, thank you, Donna, and I wish you the most merry Christmas and a prosperous and fantastic new year.
Thank you, sir. We'll talk again next year.
Sounds great.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break, and we're going to be right back. More good things to share. Don't go away.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout. new wife, Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list and he's checking it twice. He's gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping, and he knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. Oh, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and I hope that you're enjoying the music. It's just so much fun to me. It's part of the magic of the holidays. And speaking of some magic, phone lines are open. No matter where you are in the country or in the world, you can call in and chat with me, and I'd be delighted to light up your life a little inside. Here are the toll-free numbers to call in to, 877-8765-227. That's 877-8765-227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And we also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. Now, I know we've got a caller waiting, but before I go to that caller, I want to remind those of you who are listening, we are having a very special drawing next week before New Year's. It's either going to be on Monday or Tuesday. Those of you that have been sending me emails that would like to be able to be in this drawing for three. We have three giveaway gifts worth over $100 each one from Teresa Tapp. And if you want to get fit and fabulous in 2009, this is the way to go. Try it out. So what I want you to do, if you want to be entered into the drawing, send me an email at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. In the subject line, be sure to put the Donna Sebo Show and then put the code DSS-30. DSS-30. I have hundreds of emails that I have to go through, so if you put that code in, I'm going to know immediately that I've got to put you in the EPOT so that you will be available for the drawing next week. And again, we have three gift packages to give away. They'll include the skin brushing system, the 15-minute workout, which I think is awesome. I've toned up 23 inches since January of this year, and I expect to do even better in 2009. So just know you can do it too, 15 minutes a day. Yes, you can. It's absolutely marvelous, and she's even got other goodies she's putting in this gift pack, $100 plus. And we've got three of these wonderful gift packs to give away. So send me that email. Send it to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. And in the subject line, put the Donna Sebo Show DSS-30. DSS-30. And be sure to put your contact information in the body of the email, because naturally we're going to have to reach you. So anyway, that's what we've got going there, and let's go to our first caller for the day. Merry Christmas to you. Donna Sebo here, first name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Merry Christmas to you. My name is starts with L, and I'm calling from Michigan.
Where in Michigan, hon?
Farmington Hills.
Have you got any snow?
Oh, yes.
I love that pause. Oh, yes.
The white Christmas and then some.
Wow. Well, we've had it here in the Pacific Northwest. We have had one of the most intense cold periods in years, and we've had one Arctic storm coming in after the other, and it has just been incredible. So I don't know that it's going to be a white Christmas tomorrow. It is right now, but it started to rain, so our temperatures have gone up, so it's disappearing rather quickly. But we have had a foot or more of snow just in our area, and I was on the phone with someone earlier that's more up in the northern direction, and they got a foot last night. We didn't get any down here in the more southern area, and it is just, it's just been gloriously beautiful. But anyway, Elle, let's get down to business with you, dear. Thank you for calling. And what I want to say is that we are going to have to really be, and I should say you are really going to have to be very, very thorough and very consistent in how you manage your time, because otherwise, and I'm not just talking about the holidays, it seems like you're being pulled in so many different directions, not just by circumstances, but also by different people. If you're on your job, you find that you've got 3 to 5 people that are wanting you to do this, that, or the other, and there are times that you feel like your brain's on a lazy Susan and somebody put it into high gear. Don't feel badly about that. Try to take a break. Maybe go to the ladies' room if you can. Take a walk around the block. Of course, with the temps you've got now, that's not going to be too likely. So try to find a space where you can be by yourself and maybe have a moment or two just where you quietly meditate, because time management is going to be absolutely the first thing that you have to be alert to. Also, it seems like 2009 is going to be a year of study, and it's going to demand from you a lot of discipline. You must follow through and finish what you start out. Otherwise, you're going to have loose ends flapping in the breeze, driving you nuts, and you're going to feel like you're not accomplishing anything. So the first quarter of the year is really going to set the pace for the rest of the quarter, and you may have to say no to some people that normally you would just say, oh, yes, I'm Superwoman, I can do everything. But just know you can't do everything, all right? So you be good to yourself and make it okay in your mind to make your priorities clearly set in your mind and follow through. It will keep you from being just overwhelmed and feeling miserable. What's on your mind, hon? What did you want to ask me today?
Well, that says a lot right there, too.
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. You are one gal that people depend on so much, and for you to say no, it's tough.
Yeah, I try to do everything I can for everything and everyone, but I'm learning no. I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning. I was just wondering if in between all these different places and things I'm trying to do and accomplish and not always being able to say no, do you see me having time to maybe make some new friends or be in a relationship or anything?
Well, I'll tell you what, if you manage your time a little bit better and make that a priority, you're going to find, especially after the first quarter of the year, that making friends is not going to be difficult for you. You have been indoctrinated with a particular patterning of what I call work ethics, and there's nothing wrong with work ethics. It's when you become a doormat that it's not good work ethics, and you are learning how to back away, and it's okay for you to say no to other people. It really is. And what this is doing for you, it's giving you an insight into who you are as a person, and that your dreams and aspirations are really worth going after. It's a good thing. So you're going to be making some very important choices, and if I could encourage you to do something before the end of the year, which is only a week away, gracious, I would like for you to maybe take a few minutes a day, maybe take a half hour, give yourself an hour. Maybe go someplace where you can sit, whether it's in a library, whether it's in a Starbucks, I don't care where it is, where it's just you, and have a journal and sit down and write and say, what do I really, really earnestly desire? And put those desires down and think about them. You know, think about, is this what you want, or is it what somebody else says you should have? And that's the difference, hon. We need to be true to ourselves. And that's an acquired understanding, because we're indoctrinated to do exactly the opposite. But this is something you're learning, and I'd be happy about it. I wouldn't be unhappy about it at all.
Well, I'm good about it.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
Well, I know, dear, we've got to go on break.
Well, thank you very, very much.
You are very welcome.
And
Merry Christmas.
You also. Bye.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break for a minute, and then we'll be back. 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. Don't go away.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Again, I want to remind you about the drawing that's going to be done, and that'll be done either on Tuesday or Wednesday of next week, where we will be announcing three winners for the T-Tap Fit and Fabulous Gift Pack. And that's Teresa Tapp's gift to three of you lucky listeners. And if you have any friends, anybody can enter this. But I need you to send me an email, donna@delphiinternational.com. Put in the subject line, The Donna Sebo Show, DSS-30. I need that code in the subject line so that I know what it's for. And then put your contact information in the body of the email. And if you're one of the lucky winners, we will be announcing them, and we will also be contacting you as well so that Teresa will be able to get those off to you so you have a chance to be fit and fabulous in 2009. I've gotten some emails, and I know we're probably not going to be able to take another caller because I've just got a couple of minutes left here. We're going to be closing out with some music, and I'd like for you to be able to enjoy it on this very special Christmas Eve. Now, one morning during breakfast, right here in the Pacific Northwest, I just got this email before I went on air, and my dear friend Mary Ellen, who was on last week, she is the lady that has the Angel Scribe newsletter. She said that she had been told this. She said, this friend of mine, Kim, had a conversation with her husband one winter morning during breakfast. Of course, we've had this incredible snow. She said, Kim and her husband Don were listening to the radio in Seattle, and they heard the announcer say, "We're going to have 8 to 10 inches of snow today. You must park your car on the even-numbered side of the street so the snow plows can get through." Well, Kim went out and did what we'd all do. She moved her car. And, of course, we still had snow a week later, and while they're eating breakfast, the radio announcer says, "We're expecting 10 to 12 inches of snow today, so you must park your car on the odd-numbered side of the street so the snow plows can get through." Kim goes out, moves the car again. And then another day comes by. They're having breakfast. The radio announcer says, "We're expecting 12 to 14 inches of snow today. You must park." And then the electric power went out. Now, Kim was very upset, and she was so worried, and she said to her husband, "Don, I don't know what I'm going to do. Which side of the street do I need to park on so the snow plows can get through?" And her husband, who just loves her to death, he's just with the greatest sense of tenderness and compassion and understanding in his voice, "that all men who are married to blondes exhibit," he replied, "Why don't you just leave it in the garage this time?" Couldn't pass that one up. I told Mary Ellen, "I've got to share this with you on the air." Well, no matter where you are, no matter what's happening, just know that you're the master. the captain of ship, the master of your fate. This is Christmas Eve. Wherever you go, realize that you have a gift of life that is meant to be shared. There's no one like you. You are totally unique. Enjoy the spirit of this wonderful season. Don't worry about how much money you've got in your pocket or how many presents you're taking. Live this moment with a sense of joy and presence, because this is winter solstice. It is a time of renewal, celebration. We are in the midst of winter, but in the midst of winter, we have a chance to have quiet and to take joy in being with family and friends because of the wonderful holiday. God bless you all. I will be back with you on Friday live right here where we'll be talking with Maya. And have a wonderful holiday. Tomorrow's a fabulous broadcast special just for you. Get to talk to you on Friday. Have fun with your family and your friends. Be safe. Be well. God bless. Bye for now.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight. Walking in the winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird. Here to stay is a new bird. He sings a love song as we go along. Walking in the winter wonderland.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.